If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to stephaniemiller.com to find out how.
Good morning, Bob Seska.
Good morning, Stephanie. I think your set was just the right amount of filthy.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can get that special amount of filth September 10th in Chicago, October 1st in New York, and
there
of course
go.
November 5th here in Los Angeles. And then what?
Movie theaters all over the country
all
on
the country.
Monday.
November 7th. That's correct. Thank you.
The night before Election Day.
That's right. Thank you, Bob Seska. You're both the best infomercial sidekicks ever.
I always jump in on the plugs.
All right.
I love a good plug.
So, as the victim of a scam artist in my life, Bob Seska, I have to say, it's feeling like the Trump thing's getting ready to shut down. It feels like, I don't know, events getting canceled.
Yeah, events are getting canceled, and suddenly Trump's immigration plan is Obama's immigration plan.
Right. Right.
The one thing. For 14 months, all he's been talking about is this massive immigration plan with deportations and walls and big, beautiful doors.
Right.
And now he's just like, he's asked about it on Bill O'Reilly, no less, on Fox News Channel. And he's like, well, what they've been doing lately, it's pretty good.
That's
let's
pretty good.
Doing that.
I must do that. But I'll do this with my fingers, my little orange fingers.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, between the story of the New York Times about all his debt and murky international, like, you know,
believe me,
business dealings, and
believe me,
the fact that the whole campaign is a grift.
Yeah.
He's charging five times the rent at Trump Tower to his own campaign, and I mean, making money on this whole thing, and he's not producing any money for the RNC at, you know, nearly the rate that he's supposed to. I'm just wondering what you think. Like, it has this feeling of implosion. I think we were saying you did a thing about the unskewing of the polls, because that hilarious exchange about, you know, says who, which polls,
right?
It's like all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
The entire population of Warsaw.
I don't know what to make of anything that's going on right now, but I do know that if he ends up losing the election, and then I can completely see him blurting out after the election, hey, you know what, I did just fine financially, I'm doing really good, I'm doing tremendous, I'm doing very, very good because of the election, made all this money. If he mentions that at all after the election, there are going to be people with torches and pitchforks, and mind you, alt-right people, white nationalist people, going after him for duping them. Although, on the other hand, maybe they just won't know they won't even care. I mean, I don't know. They're being obviously scammed now, so I don't know why admitting in the future that they've been scammed would be a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, you were saying that the role of the unskewer-in-chief this time is Fox News host Eric Bolling. Who's,
yeah.
Yes.
It was... By the way, I always like to mention this. Very easy to troll on Twitter, Eric Bolling.
just a little tip.
I'm not saying you should troll Eric Bolling on Twitter, but it's really easy to troll him on Twitter.
Now, before I say, as you always say, don't get happy. But Trump has not led in a single poll since July 23rd. His state-by-state numbers, of course, horrendous. Nate Silver has Hillary leading right now, 356 electoral votes to his 180, with an 86% chance of victory. And I love you, just that Bolling said literally, you know, these polls, Dana, honestly, we have to stop with these polls. So now we just got to stop because they're, yeah. And then he's
just like one step away from going, na 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 na, not listening, not listening.
La la la, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's, and they're talking about rally sides, which, of course, as you always say, is such a ridiculous, like, non-predictor of anything.
Really, is Eric Bolling 4 years old? I mean, for God's sake, that's what people who are brand new to politics, like eighth grade civics level politics, are going, well, look at these giant crowds. That must mean they're going to win. Well, sometimes it's an indicator that they have enthusiasm, but seldom is it an accurate indicator of electoral success. It's
right.
Just, it's like people like to go to rock concerts. People don't like to vote, typically. So these two things are in direct conflict. And in
one of these things is not like the other. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, precisely. I mean, in past elections, you know, Barack Obama, for example, was able to use the size of his crowds to his advantage for the get out the vote effort by accumulating phone numbers so he can send out text message blasts, not him personally, of course, but his staff. And they used that to get out the vote. And there was nothing like that. There was nothing like that actually during the Bernie Sanders campaign where he had giant crowds.
Right.
And there's nothing like that in the Trump campaign, certainly, especially when you know that there's like a 12-year-old running his Denver field office.
Yes, yes. You wrote a piece about voter fraud, which I know you and I both just, it is, as you say, it's another imaginary solution to an imaginary problem. But this is what they're left with, is just trying to keep people from voting.
Right. Well, that's absolutely it. And the problem is that the actual issue itself, voter fraud, doesn't exist. And yet polls are showing that the American people overwhelmingly want more voter ID laws, and they believe that voter fraud is an actual issue.
Wow.
And
as you say, and it's an important phrase, it is statistically non-existent. They have done studies.
Yeah, I mean, the most famous study that was done by the Bush Justice Department. Multi-year study determined that the rate of voter fraud was 0.0000013.
What's your point, Bob?
It's like, does it exist? That's statistically non-existent. There's nothing there.
But you say, second to denial of climate change, this is perhaps the most astonishing example of mass delusion in modern American history. I mean, and it is part of, again, this infuriating thing I've been talking about all hour about, you know, both sides do it. Oh, the Trump University, same as the Clinton Foundation. It's like, no, right?
Right. Well, I mean, and here's where I get frustrated, Stephanie, which is the idea that there are so many people who don't know the difference between something like voter fraud and election fraud, where voter fraud is something very specific and election fraud is something very specific, and now they're used interchangeably. And again, I hate to revert back to the primary debates, but this was something that was coming up a lot with Bernie or Bust people, where they were confusing voter fraud with election fraud, and then suddenly voter fraud is a real thing on the left, even though it shouldn't be, even though statistically it doesn't exist, where voter fraud is actual individual voters going in and scamming the system, election fraud being systemic problems, ballot tampering, messing with voter rolls. I would classify voter ID as a form of election fraud, disenfranchising whole groups of people because they can't get out and get a photo ID at the DMV.
Right. By the way, your piece in Trump's outreach to African Americans is actually a dog whistle to his white nationalist base. Right on the money. I've been seeing it, and I'll say that. You say if Donald Trump is legitimately attempting to reach out to African American voters, he's doing a horrible job of it. But
I mean, what this is very obviously is there's a couple things that Donald Trump is saying to his white people base,
right?
Which is one, you can go in and vote for me and not worry about being a racist. He's basically absolving his racist white people from feeling like they're racist if they go and vote, because after all, he's saying all these wonderful things about black people, which aren't wonderful at all, but in their mind, it is.
Right.
And then the other thing is it's actually defining the Democratic Party as being the party of laziness and handouts and welfare queens and all of that. That's what he's basically defining the black community as being, this this hellscape, and it's the fault of the Democrats. And if you vote for Democrats, your community will become a hellscape too.
Right. Well, you say it's more than obvious. Trump is merely telling his white nationalist disciples that blacks live in squalor because they're too stupid or too lazy to ditch the Democratic Party.
Right.
I mean,
and that's exactly what he's saying. No intention whatsoever to eat into the African American vote. There are no African Americans. I mean, your dad and Barry Goldwater got 3% of the African American vote after Barry Goldwater came out against the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is polling at 1%. With black people.
Right, right. That is hard to do.
Yeah, that's really hard to do.
As you made some good points, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation, 74% of African Americans are not living in poverty, contrary to what Trump said. While the unemployment rate among African Americans is higher, as you say, it's always been higher, regardless of Republican or Democratic control of the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
Republicans fully control 23 state governments yet, and yet poverty and crime and no good schools apparently exist.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And it always works in the African-American community to white-splain to them and basically say, hey, you know, your place is a filthy pigsty. I mean, he's like dad saying, you know what? And he's wagging his finger. You know what? Your bedroom is a filthy pigsty. Clean up this pigsty. And this is basically saying the African-American, because, oh, of course they're going to jump on the Trump train now. Well, of course it is, Mr. Trump. We'll totally get that cleaned up for you.
Right. And by the way, as you say, the youth unemployment rate, in some ways a rigged statistic that includes young people who are in high school, by definition, not part of the labor force. And you say it's the same flim-flam Republicans use when they talk about the real unemployment rate, which includes retirees, disabled people. students, et cetera, right?
Yeah, this is, again, this is the Republican Party cherry-picking numbers and looking at things that exist that aren't what they say they are. And this is, again, this is the real unemployment rate scam, which is that there's a number that exists out there as far as unemployment goes that also includes people who are not part of the labor force, people who have no interest in working, who are retired, who are students, veterans, who are disabled, et cetera. And if you want this real unemployment number, you count all those people, but it's not an accurate gauge of who in the labor force is actually working and finding jobs.
Well, and the other
something completely different.
The other good point about, you know, the quote unquote no good schools, you're like, Republicans are the ones that are always cutting money for schools and for education.
I mean,
and
what do they want? I mean, 8 out of the last 16 years there's been a Republican president. There are, I think, 23 states that have full, or no, actually, I take that back. I think it's 33 states that are under full control of the Republican Party, both at the state legislature level and at the governorship. And they're the ones who control what happens in public schools. Public schools are basically a state-level issue, and the Republicans control the states at this point, so I don't know what he's getting at here. Yeah, okay, sure, we should elect more Republicans and make matters worse.
Yeah, yeah, no, exactly, exactly. Well, I mean, what's your prediction right now? I swear to God, I just keep having this feels like it's just circling the drain, the Trump campaign. I just, you know, I've said I'm just not sure he's going to be the nominee. I'm not sure he's going to debate.
Well, as you said before, I mean, I offer the heavy caveat of don't get happy. Please do not get happy.
Right.
Don't get complacent about this. The threat of the Donald Trump presidency is too great to sit at home and think, ah, she's got it in the bag.
Oh, by the way, it's officially been put out on Twitter because, you know, everything huge happens when we're on vacation, that he's going to drop out next week when I'm on vacation.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to drop out. I think he's going to lose, and I think he's going to lose by a relatively healthy margin.
Don't get happy. Don't get happy.
Don't get happy.
Come on, don't get happy.
Yeah, exactly. We'll write a song. All right, Bob, great stuff. I need to know the information as to what time the Bob and Chez podcast drops exactly when you record on Tuesday and Thursday.
Early in the morning. I would say it's pretty close to 11 a.m. Pacific time.
The next day? Wait, Wednesday?
The same day, Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Oh, really? I need to change my hiking schedule. I'm writing that down. All right. Bob and Chez, get it. Mama's favorite podcast. Love you, honey.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. Love you too.
All right, there he goes, Bob of the Bob and